As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
As we promised you earlier in the program, we're going to talk IU men's soccer today, and we're going to do so with the man in charge. It's my great friend Todd Yeagley. Hello, Coach. How are you?
I'm good, Glass. Thanks for having me.
It's always good to hear your voice, my friend. In April, these are times of change and times of spring season and other fun stuff. And your program has been nothing but busy here for the last few weeks. You've got some new coaches. You've got some new transfers in from our friends at Xavier. And you've been playing some games as well. Well, let's start with the coaching changes, because every time we move around, it seems like more former guys come back into the mix. That's got to be a pretty cool thing to keep that tradition alive here at Indiana University.
It is nice. I mean, I say it's not a prerequisite for a job, but we've had really good people come through the program that have gone on to do some really good things. And then when there's an opportunity and you're trying to, you know, fill a specific need in your staff, and that's part of it too, Glass. You're always trying to, okay, what does this team need, and who's out there that, you know, could help the group? And this is where, you know, I thought Tanner Thompson would be. He's such a young coach. Reminds me of a lot of Kevin Robeson, and they came at similar age when Kevin came in back in 2013, and he's one that I had a lot of respect for. As a player, obviously 3-time All-American, but it's an extension of our staff. And then you throw in, you know, the love for the program when you consider his family, his father and mother went here. It's pretty cool. So that, you know, that bigger than a job feel is there with Tanner. And then the same thing with Jeremiah Gutyar. Here's, you know, a local product that's done so much, obviously for IU, played pro, played for the national team, and he was at that, you know, junction in his life where it's like, okay, I want to get into the professional sports world. Opportunity came here. He's like, I'd love to. And it's we're really excited to have Jeremiah. And we got a little bit younger, too.
Well, I was going to ask you that.
Age.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
My age a little bit.
You and me aren't exactly old, and Roby's not anywhere near old, but those kids are really young. How important is it to have that balance, Coach, where I know Jeremiah can't probably go out and recruit in his position, but surely Tanner can, and how important is it to have kind of like those almost like three different layers of experience when you're trying to go coast to coast and scour the nation for players?
It is nice. That was something Danny brought so many good qualities to our program, and I know, you know, he's going to move into a different space here in the next year. I think more into sports performance. He's taking a little time off with his wife, and they're going to, you know, find new areas to live. But he's going to be great in that world, and he gave us a lot in that space when he came here. But I also feel it's a chance to get a different voice and also a different age, because him and Roby are peers. And so with bringing in, you know, Tanner and Jeremiah a little bit younger, yes, they can relate really well. They'll be fantastic recruiting. Some of them can go on the road, some can't. There's some different rules, not to get into the weeds, but they'll be involved with recruiting in some capacity, and just really fun people to be around. And I think our team already is feeling that. And so again, you take the qualities of what was here of this coaches, and then you bring some new faces and some new energy and new ideas, new perspective. It's healthy. You know, it's a lot of work, you know, transition to staff, and that's good for me. It keeps me on my toes, and obviously keeps Kevin. We have to, you know, you have to be able to explain what you do in really clear and concise ways, and that makes you better as a coach and as a leader. So it's only good for us too to continue to sharpen the sword, if you will. But I'm really excited. I mean, we had a really good staff, and yet when you're able to make a change and feel like you were able to still continue to grow, I'm pretty fortunate with that.
Todd Yeagley is our guest this afternoon. He's the head coach of the IU men's soccer program. Did it feel like a natural time for separation because of what you guys almost did the last couple of years? Did you feel this kind of cycle had run its course, or is this just adults being adults and doing different things?
Yeah, I mean, with Danny, I mean, when he came in, he's like, Todd, I probably can give you 3 years, you know, based on kind of where he was, his wife, where they were kind of in their life. And were so I always knew coming in, you know, Danny was going to be, you know, a 2 to 4 year. And I'm like, Danny, I'll take you for 1 year. I just know you can help us. So, and then Paulo, with the director of ops, with Jeremiah Gutiar, Paulo, the same thing. He has a lot of different interests, and he's going back kind of into the youth scene, and which kind of opened the door again for Jeremiah. And what's great too is, you know, with our coaches in the staff that's turned over, this is not like something happened and there's bad blood. I mean, we're hugging. It's all good for everyone. And that's what you love about this place. And obviously it's door opens, new opportunity. I called Tanner right away and he's like, I'll be there in 5 minutes. So he'd run here if he had to.
Was he on Mays' staff at Ohio State?
He was.
That's what I thought. Yeah. And
such a similar background with, like I said, with Kevin. And, you know, he worked for Sage Robinson in Chicago, kind of in the real world, I call it. He was a Kelly grad, smart kid after playing a couple years pro. And he kept calling me. He's like, Coach, all I think about soccer. I can't do this. And he's making good money. He's got a good career, if you will. It's the same conversations I had with Kevin Robeson back in 2011 and 12.
Nobody's selling beer, right? Said,
hey. Yeah, he was. He was on sales and killing. And he was more excited about his youth practice at night. So I said, follow your heart, go with your dream. And so both are so similar in that way. And then, you know, Christian Lamelli was already here. We're just able to elevate his role and responsibilities. And I'm so happy that, you know, we're able to keep Christian because of his new role. And he's been fantastic. So I feel like, one, we're able to, you know, as long as we can keep Kevin, as long as we can, he does a phenomenal job. He's kind of my right-hand man. And I think the synergy and this youth will be good. And like I said, I just love the fact that you bring new ideas and new energy. It challenges me and makes the players respond to different stimuli. And in the end, hopefully the product will continue to be where it's been and even better.
Hopefully nothing. It will be. That's how that's going to work out. I'll speak for you on that one because you're my buddy.
Yeah, I love it.
Coach Todd Yeagley joins us. New players, new time of year, springtime. You had folks after last season. Obviously, some come, some go. It's the natural churn. It really doesn't matter what sport it is these days. Every time you look up, you better have a program so you can figure out who's out and about. And as we've seen on the wonderful social media that is kept, Xavier, Andy Fleming, our buddy, decided he was finished with college soccer, and some of his players looking towards Bloomington, and they've already arrived here. Tell me what you liked, what you saw, and I know Andy is a great resource as well. That probably didn't hurt in the quote-unquote recruiting world.
No, I mean, we're able to get, you know, we knew Carson coming out. We just didn't have that positional need when he was in his natural recruiting cycle. A kid from Crown Point who has some really great qualities, did a fantastic job at Xavier. And, you know, played huge minutes. And quite honestly, his biggest reason is that he wanted to get uncomfortable. He wanted to be challenged. And Xavier's a good team and a good program, but he felt like I needed a little bit more. And he has really big aspirations personally for his own professional pathway. And he felt that IU could give him the best chance of winning championships. And I love to hear that. And he's been fantastic. He is more of a hold-up player, as many of you may have seen him play. He brings the other players in the wider and deeper positions into the game, a little bit different than Sammy Sarver, who plays as more of a stretching striker, as we know, which is a great quality. So it gives us the flexibility to beat teams in different ways, and that's really why Carson, once he hit the portal, it was a no-brainer. That's a profile, a player, and also the personality that we're like, that will help us. And that's he's been huge. This past weekend we played a really fun game in St. Louis, and you could see those qualities now after training with the team for a couple months. And now we're going into more scrimmage scenarios. You can see the qualities and the combinations and the interchange, what he'll bring to some of our Y players. And he's a big kid too, Glass. So we got a little bit of size. We don't want to get too small. We typically are the small smaller group in the Big Ten and around the country. And I'm like, man, if we can add some size and also add quality, it was a home run with Carson.
Very cool. And where are we in the spring schedule? You mentioned the penalty shootout victory in St. Louis, raising money for the scholarship for Roby's dad, which is a great cause. Obviously, the St. Louis-Indiana connection goes back years and years and years. It's great that you guys can still put that together. So I'll have you tell me about that as well. But what's next? The Mexico game never materialized, it seems like. So what are we looking forward to here as April continues?
Yeah, so we played an early game against Butler, and it looked early. We definitely looked like we hadn't played in a while. But I say it gave us some great teaching on video. So it was not a good outing, but we're able to get a lot of guys in the game, and we're able to assess where we were. And then this was our second game, so we had quite a bit of a break. Basically, the whole month of March, we were training and going bigger, and obviously spring break interrupted some of that training. And then here's the St. Louis game, and that's the game that you want. It had an atmosphere. There was a crowd. We went on the road. We played a team, obviously, in the Elite Eight last year. They lost players, but they've reloaded. They're a good side, and they play a different system than we play. And it was really good to play against that and also have the feel, the pressure, if you will, of a fall-like game. It felt really good. A night game under the lights, with a crowd, with there was meaning in that game, and that's what you're looking for in these spring games, to do as much as you can to replicate a fall match. And that was a really good exercise for us. We were able to, you know, get some experimentation done, but also we didn't go certainly as deep as we did in the previous game. But yet we did do some things maybe we wouldn't do in the fall. And obviously for a great cause. And our IU alums in St. Louis, glad.
Amazing.
You know, I mean, it's amazing. And obviously we have, you know, quite a few on the team from the St. Louis area now, and recruiting is looking really good, and you'll continue to hear more. But that's huge. And our alums, the more we're there, the connections get stronger and deeper, and it's really cool to be with them. So it was a whole night of festivities. We had somebody before the game. Both teams ate together after the game. We hung out with the alums. It was a fun night. And then moving forward, as you mentioned, we play three more games. The Mexico game was not able to be scheduled this year due to some scheduling challenges with Mexico. So we have three remaining. We're at Kentucky on the weekend, which will be really tough. They're always a good side, as we know. We'll play there this Saturday, and then we play the one home game against Lipscomb. Wanted to get a different opponent, one we haven't seen, a little more international. That's on the following weekend, the 14th. And then we go into our last weekend of play against Notre Dame. We'll play that game up at Grand Park in front of basically it's the showcase game of a youth tournament.
Right.
So there's thousands of kids, and we'll probably have a couple thousand that game watching us play Notre Dame the Friday leading the Little Five. And then it's a fun weekend that the boys can enjoy being a college student. And we got dead week and finals week and summer. Here we go.
There it is.
Coming to a wrap.
Yeah, don't blink. You're going to miss all of it. Now, before I let you go, I don't want to get too far into this because I think we'll talk during the summer when everything cools down and I can really pick your brain through it. But I saw a tweet from the official, the 21st century model. Give me the elevator speech on this one. I know what it is. I know the listener, though. We don't want to get too far down that road. Yeah. But what we're trying to do, and I think I have this right, is make soccer a two-semester sport.
Yeah, and the simplest way is take the compression of the fall and spread our games over two semesters, in which there are several sports that already do that. And therefore take our spring season, which we're in now, and just put those as regular season games and play maybe one midweek game in the fall. And so the season would be a little bit shorter in the fall. And then we would then get kicked back into gear in March, play. And then we'd also have our championship segment like we did in the COVID year,
where it's warm.
Yeah, when you're playing Big Ten championships and you can choose venues and you're playing a game in late May, it just makes – and that was one of the best crowds and environments in years that we had when we played Marshall and Cary. So it's just trying to keep the kids where they don't feel so worn out in the fall with all the travel they academically can be more balanced. It's really a way of balancing out the scales. Take your 25 games instead of doing 20 in the fall and 5 in the spring, spread them out and allow there to be more time, allow for kids that have injuries, class, to come back with a little bit more time and not miss 3 to 4 games, which is, you know, 20% of your schedule with one hamstring injury. Now it's 2 weeks, but it's just 2 games instead of 4. It's just a massive difference. We know that the recovery of our sport, it's not the same model as it was in 1950.
Right.
You know, the amount of distance covered in the load on these athletes, in particular soccer, is not the same of playing basketball 2 games in a weekend, for instance, or another sport. It's, you know, these kids are covering 5 to 8 miles, the athleticism required. So it's just spreading it out and then playing less games and getting some really meaningful trainings in during the week. Getting back to maybe the game of the week, which we used to do back in the day, when we played 2 games on a weekend, we'd actually play a midweek game in our squad. We can't even do that now because we're playing too many midweek games against, you know, the Butlers, the Kentuckys, and you got to rest and recover from the weekend. So obviously I'm a big proponent of it. It's got some, you know, there's definitely some folks that are pushing back on it. Change is not easy for people, and we have everything we feel to basically counterbalance, you know, an argument. And so, you know, the 21st century model.org is a phenomenal website that outlines this whole thing. But in the end, Glass, you're not voting for this. It's the commissioners and the voting mechanisms. There's 64 votes and we got to get 34. This is a political campaign, and we have to convince the other conferences and key voters that this is good for the student athletes. I mean, 86%. We did a poll recently with the athletes, Division I. This is a men's soccer proposal too. It's not a women's soccer. They have a different proposal next year that's different. 86% of the athletes were in favor of this.
That's a big number.
So, yeah, it's a big number. And so you always say, you know, what do the kids want? What do they want? Where do they benefit? And, you know, administrators and folks that make these decisions, there's a lot of things they manage. But in the end, if it's good for the players, good for the game, then let's do a change and see where it goes.
What's the time?
We'll wait and see. April 13th is the vote.
Whoa, that's a week
just
from tomorrow.
Yeah. So all these different voting things come in the same window. So same time they'd be voting for this, they'd be voting for some other you know, piece of legislation that affects another sport or a different topic. So this is a big deal for our sport, and we put a lot of time and energy into it, and hopefully we get an opportunity to see it to play out. And if it doesn't pass, we have to figure out and pivot, and we don't have a broken system, but we have one that could be better. It's always like, how can you get better and not get stuck in a model that's the way we used to do it, right, Glass?
Oh, absolutely.
That, you know, yeah, it's
different.
It's a dangerous,
kids are different.
Dangerous thing. It is. And a lot of people, as we get older, change is uncomfortable.
Good point.
And we need to make people think about change as a positive.
Perfect. I appreciate your time.
You would vote yes for it, Glass.
Oh, in a second. Sean Phillips and I have talked about this for 10 years.
Yeah.
So I'm.
Yeah, it's been a topic.
It makes way too much sense, but again, we'll let the democratic process play itself out, and then hopefully we can see what's going on. Keep up the great work in spring, everybody. Stay healthy. Great to hear about the new additions on the staff and on the pitch. Awesome. Take care of Kentucky for us, and we'll get back with you in May at some point to kind of recap everything and see what's going on this summer.
Sounds good. Thanks, Glass.